He doesn't. And yet, He's good to us. Tell you what, get to thinking about that, it'll change your outlook a little bit. Amen. Well, we're in Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, and again, as we've made mention, it's a wonderful chapter of the Word of God. I spent, I believe, in excess, when I was a youth pastor, I spent in excess of 6 months preaching these verses that I'm going to preach to you today in about 30 minutes. I promise you, Brother Arnold, I won't preach for 6 months today. Amen. I'll just preach for 30, 35 minutes this morning. But I called it preventative maintenance for teenagers. You know, it'd be a whole lot better for a teenager to know what the Word of God says and keep from marrying the wrong person than to go in self-will and just do whatever you feel like and end up in a train wreck. Amen. It's kind of like changing your oil. It's better to change your oil than change your engine. Amen. Just a lot better to do that. Amen. And God has so many principles here in this passage for us. You see it, the idea here in verse 27 is our text, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. This whole chapter has to deal with marriage, and it's a picture, according to the end of the chapter, it's a picture of the relationship, the marriage relationship, the husband-wife relationship is a picture of the relationship between the church and Jesus Christ. And as we looked at several weeks ago, as we preached on the rapture of the church and we preached on the parable of the 10 virgins, one day there's going to be a presentation. One day the Son is going to come, and He's going to come and He's going to claim His bride. Amen. That bride, according to the Word of God, is the church. Those that are saved, amen. Those that are born again. Those that are part of the body of Christ, wherever they be. When the trumpet sounds, the bride is going to be with her groom, Jesus Christ. But there comes a point where we're going to the place that our bridegroom has prepared for us. But there comes a point in the Jewish wedding, it's a beautiful, beautiful picture, where the father takes the bride's hand, the father of the groom takes the bride's hand, and he puts it in his son's hand. It's called the presentation. Beautiful, beautiful time. And again, we won't take the time to go over everything, but as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, remember that at that point in the wedding ceremony, the bride was completely veiled from head to toe. And as we said, Brother Kelly, don't you think there must have been a few surprises when that veil lifted up? And we said how some people must have said, "Father, what have I done to deserve this?" And other people must have said, "Father, what have I done to deserve this?" God is going to present us, His bride, to His Son. He's going to do that one day. And it talks about here, in verse 27, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. And we know this. Praise God. I was talking to a lady yesterday. Did you know this? Listen, you may not have known this. Let me clue you in on this. There's no perfect church in this world. Somebody said, if you're looking for a perfect church, don't join it because you'll ruin it. Because churches are made up of imperfect people. If we could say this, not only physically, but spiritually, we've got a few spots and wrinkles, don't we? I've noticed, boy, I'm getting more wrinkles around here. I said, too much laughing. I get in those crow's feet. I got this mole I got to get dealt with. That's a spot. Amen. There's coming a day, ladies and gentlemen, when Jesus Christ gives us those incorruptible bodies. Amen. When we'll not have any spot or wrinkle. It'll be a perfect presentation. But here, God is giving us, I believe, He's giving us an illustration of one day what's going to happen to the presentation. But I believe He's also giving us some incentive. You'd say, well, we're going to be a glorious church one day. Why not strive to be a glorious church today? Amen? Why not strive to be a glorious church today? There are churches, many churches are characterized by many different things. Some of you have been in churches. Brother Burton, you're a missionary. You go in lots of churches. Amen? And some churches are characterized, and praise God for these good things. Some churches are characterized by preaching. Hey, listen, that ought to be a characteristic of a church. Amen? A preacher ought to preach the Word of God. Amen? And listen, preaching ain't talking, forgive my grammar, but preaching is preaching, amen? And preachers ought to preach, they ought to preach the Word of God, they ought to preach it without apology, amen? And again, you folks know this, amen? I'm for illustrations and I'm for stories, but what we need is the Word of God. We need God's Word. So some churches are characterized by preaching. That's a good thing. Some churches are characterized by soul winning. It's just souls are important to those people at churches, amen? And you just go into church and you just know that people are excited about people getting saved, amen? That's a good thing. That's a good thing for a church to be associated with. Something else another church may be characterized by, a church may be characterized by music. Oh, that's a blessing, amen? By the way, it can be characterized in the right way with music or the wrong way. Amen. Some of you have gone to churches 30 and 40 and 50 years ago that now have the wrong characterization of their music. It's wrong. By the way, since God hasn't changed, amen, let's just stick with the right kind of music, amen. Let's just stick with music that glorifies Him, and we don't need any rock and roll, amen. We don't need any of that stuff. That stuff's for the world. It's not in the church, amen. Some churches are characterized by music, wonderful choirs, orchestras, things like that. Other churches are characterized by their missions emphasis. I go to some churches and it seems like they've got a guest missionary every week, amen? And that's a good thing. These are all good things, amen? They're characterized by a missions emphasis. And you can just tell that missions is important. As I look out at that board back there, I praise God. Our goal for 3250 for this month, we've already met it and we've got another week to go, amen? Praise God for that we care about the souls of men and women around the world. That ought to be characteristic of a church. By the way, there's some negative things that can characterize a church, can't they? Strife can characterize a church. People, I talked to my wife and I were just fellowshipping this morning. We didn't have any children in the car. And boy, it's amazing the fellowship you can have without, Daddy, Mommy, give me Daddy, Mommy, Mommy, Mommy. We just sat there and there was actually silence and we praised God. Amen. But we were fellowshipping one with another and I said to her, I said, honey, I was telling her about a visit I made yesterday, and this person just hasn't been back to our church in too long. It's just been too long. And by the way, if you stay away, you'll stray away. It's just what will happen, amen? The devil wants to get you aside, not because he's your friend, not because he's your buddy, because he wants to devour you as a roaring lion, amen? And I was talking about it this morning. Listen, you take one log out of the fire and put it outside the fire, eventually it'll flame out. But you keep it in the fire with the other six logs, it'll burn hot. Amen. That's why you ought to be in God's house with God's people. But Carrie and I were just talking and I said, Carrie, I praise God for where and when we got saved. I got saved in 1995 in Holyoke, Massachusetts. You met my pastor, Pastor Eric Tharp, and he was a preaching machine. And he'd preach and he'd turn red in the face. And I used to kid him all the time. He had this vein that would pop out in his forehead when he'd really get preaching. I said, man, that guy's about to have a stroke or something. You know, just start throbbing. And he just really, really communicating the Word of God. And I said, you know, one of the things I praised God for when we first got saved, Brother Holy, was there was no strife in that church. You think of what that could have done to a new convert. Strife. And it happens in churches. And it happens, by the way, it never seems to happen over how many souls get saved. And it never seems to happen over how much gets given to missions. And it never seems to happen about all the spiritual things. It seems to happen about stupid, petty things. Tell you what, some churches are characterized by strife. I know a church that is characterized by every 5 years running off a good preacher. Every 5 years they run off a good preacher. Can we say this about Loomis Park Baptist Church? Those of you that are members of Loomis Park Baptist Church, our church has a wonderful name, a wonderful reputation. By the way, that's been built over the years of Christians right now whose bodies are in the ground and whose spirits are in heaven. Amen. That served and sweat. And the Bible still says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Amen. Proverbs 22:1. But if we're not careful, as Brother Kelly prayed this morning, I so appreciate that. Brother Kelly in the men's prayer, he prayed, Lord, thank you for days gone by. But this is today. That's what he prayed. If we're not careful, we can become Sardis. Thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. God's doing wonderful things in our church. I said that in our pastor's desk. He is. He's doing wonderful things. The service we had last Sunday night can't be replicated or duplicated. It was a special service where God moved in. Thank God for that. Here's what I want to talk to you tonight about. All these characteristics of churches. What characterizes a glorious church? What is it that characterizes, that makes up a glorious church that is pleasing to our Heavenly Father? Seven things this morning. The first of all, in our text, I think the first thing that characterizes a glorious church is submission. Submission. Look at verse number 21 with me, please. It says there in Ephesians 5, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, of course, it's talking here about the marriage relationship. It's talking how the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the body. You know, the body doesn't tell the head what to do. The head tells the body what to do. Amen? And listen, I don't apologize for this. When I do a wedding, I was telling Will and Teal about this. They just got married not too long ago. I said, when I perform a wedding, I go through the, and I'm just old fashioned, amen. Do you promise to love, honor, and obey? Oh, what? Oh, Pastor, you're a chauvinist. No, it's in the Bible. It's just in the Bible, amen. And we're supposed to be that way in our marriages, amen. But also in the church. A church that is glorious, a church that pleases Christ, is one that is characterized by submission. And can I say this? None of us, including your pastor, in their flesh, like to submit. We just don't like it. It's so anti-world. It's so anti-flesh to submit. Look what it's in verse 21 tells us right there. We're to submit ourselves one to another. We're to submit ourselves one. Had a person, again, yesterday asking me, Pastor, is it wrong to go to a casino? Is it wrong? And they were asking out of a tender heart. They weren't asking because they wanted me to give them a rubber stamp on sin, which is what happens many times. Amen. Pastor, is this wrong? Because there's no specific verse on it in the Bible. And what I told, I said, hey, abstain from all appearance of evil, still in the Bible. You know, amen. I had a dear, dear elderly lady in our church tell me, she said this about playing cards. You play cards, if you want to. Everybody has liberty. She said this, when I was a kid, where you found cards, you found booze, you found cigarettes, and you found the wrong crowd. It's enough for me, amen? Hey, why? Because we're to submit ourselves one to another. We're to submit ourselves one to another. And again, we don't like that. We want to do what we want to do. But I promise you, a church that is glorious in the eyes of God is a church where there's submission. You know what else, according to the text? We're to submit ourselves unto Christ. Unto Christ, ladies and gentlemen. What does it say there? Verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. We're to be subject, submissive to one to another. You know, it's still okay to go to a brother or sister and say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Come on now. It's still okay to do that. Amen. Why? We submit ourselves one to another. We need each other. We're part of a body. Amen. We're part of a local New Testament church. It ought to be characterized by submission. Submission one to another. Submission to Christ. What characterizes a glorious church? First of all, submission. Again, I know our flesh rebels against that. We don't like to submit. Let's do it anyway. Come on now. Just like when you're a kid, eat your broccoli. I don't like broccoli. Eat it anyway. It's good for you. Amen. Submitting, it's godly. According to this text, submitting ourselves. Number two, not only submission characterizes a glorious church. Let me tell you something else that characterizes a glorious church. Sweetness. Sweetness. Look at verse 25. Husbands, next word, church, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Jump down to verse 28. So ought men to, next word, church, love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourish and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Not only submission, but sweetness. Can we say this? And again, going back to last Sunday night, such a blessing to me. Love ought to characterize a glorious church. Did you know this? I'm finding this out more and more. The further we get, the deeper our country goes into debauchery, more and more and more and more the world is hating what the church stands for and hating the church as a whole because we stand as a bulwark against sin and evil. And the world hates that. There are some people that God is going to save out, but by and large, the world hates that. Do you know what? We need to love each other. Again, going back to visitation yesterday, this dear person we visited said, I've never been loved, Pastor. I've never been loved. And God gave me, Brother Keith, we did some spiritual warfare yesterday. We really did. God gave me scriptures and I said this, there's a whole bunch of people here that'll love you if you'll let them. But you know what? If you don't come, that's what I told her. If you don't come, they can pray for you, but you can't feel that love. There's something about the local church. Listen, I know there's all kinds of theological debate. I believe in the church corporate, but I believe that God ordained the local church. And one of the things that ought to characterize a glorious church is sweetness. Sweetness. Do we sin? Yes. Oh my goodness, yes. And all God's people said. Do we bother each other? Amen. Listen, you always bother your family, amen. But you're still part of the family. Reminds me of friends I had growing up. You know, there was three brothers and they were very tight and they would beat each other almost within an inch of the life, but nobody else better mess with them. Cause then you were going to be messing with all the brothers, amen. You know, it ought to be that way in the church. We ought to just love each other. And I'm not talking about this gushy stuff. And I don't mind a hug. And like I said, the service we had Sunday night where we all walked around, said, I love you, brother, love you. So that was wonderful. But you know, love is a decision. Love is a decision. This is my brother. This is my sister in Christ. I'm going to love them. You know, thank God Jesus decided to love. Huh? Did he not? Did he love the ungodly? Thank God, otherwise none of us would be saved. Amen. Oh, how love ought to characterize, sweetness ought to characterize a church. And God gives us the wonderful illustration, husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You know, husbands, the more you get to know your wife, the more you love her. At least that's the way it's supposed to be. Amen. The more you get to know her, the more you love her. Hey, listen. You know what? The more we get to know each other, the more love we ought to have for one another. I promise you, it characterizes a glorious church. Not only submission, but sweetness. Number three, Look at verse 25, if you would, again. Husbands, love your wife. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. The third characteristics that makes up a glorious church, not only submission and sweetness, but sacrifice. Sacrifice. It says right there, Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. You know, when it comes to that, that is the example of sacrifice. Jesus Christ, who gave Himself a ransom for all. You know, when it comes to the local church, God is pleased with sacrifice. You know, some of you come in and spruce up the flowers. That's a sacrifice. Some of you come in and maybe you help out on the grounds. Some of you come in and take care of lights, and some of you come in and some of you come out soul winning, and some of you, and I can go on and on and on and on and on. Listen, a glorious church is a church where there's sacrifice. God bless you, sweet widows, you sweet elderly people, that you sacrifice to give to missions so that people can hear the gospel. We sacrifice our time, don't we? You can't kill time without injuring eternity, right? So we ought to, as the old proverb said, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. We sacrifice our time. We sacrifice our talents. I think of Vacation Bible School just a couple weeks gone by, and those that sacrifice the talents that God had given them. Thank God for that. We sacrifice our treasure, don't we? We sacrifice our money. But you know what? Really, all of that, it's not really ours. It's His. It's His time. It's His talents. His treasure comes from Him. This is His body. Amen. You're His. But He gives us the example. I was willing to sacrifice for you. If you're going to be part of a glorious church, it's going to be characterized by sacrifice. Sacrifice. Not only sacrifice, sweetness, submission. Number four, verse 26. That He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. Number four, something else that characterizes a glorious church is sanctification. Sanctification, right there it says that He might sanctify and cleanse it. Sanctification is the idea of setting something apart. Setting something apart. And God, when He saved us, severed us. He severed us from the world and He set us apart for Himself. I want to tell you primarily what I mean by this point is setting apart time for God. You have to do that. If you don't make a decision to set apart time for God, trust me, from somebody that's happened to, the day will get away from you. Come on now. If you don't set apart the times that we have here, 9:45, 10:45, 6 p.m., 7 p.m. Wednesday night, if you don't set those times apart, you will not be here. You have to make a decision. And sanctification, being set apart for God. Again, how important, I can't stress this enough. Gathering with God's people, gathering, coming apart, setting yourself apart from the world, and coming and being with God's people. I'm telling you, it's, appreciate Mr. Jordan. He says, I always like to be in God's house with God's people. And you know what, Mr. Jordan, to that I say amen. It just killed me not to be here Wednesday night. I had a message ready to preach, and my little son Eric dropped a brick on his toe. And I, like a good husband, said to my wife, well, weren't you watching him? No, I didn't either, amen. Because I know that stuff can happen in a split second. I know that, amen. And poor guy. But you know what? Brother Kelly, I had to miss a Wednesday service. And I hated every minute of it. I wanted to be here, not just so I could preach, and that's a privilege. I wanted to be here and be with you. Because we're God's people, amen? And that time is set apart. Sanctification. characterizes a glorious church. Sacrifice, sweetness, submission. Oh, praise God. Number 5, verse 26. That He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. Down to verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. You know what characterizes a glorious church? The Scriptures. The Scriptures. Amen? The Scriptures characterize a glorious church. Hey, listen, God said in Psalm chapter 138, verse 2, Thou hast magnified Thy Word above Thine own name. You know, God's name is holy. His name is Jehovah. His name is feared and revered. And as Brother Tom said during this King James Bible seminar, when they wrote the name Jehovah, the King James Bible translators, they literally took out a new pen that had never been used before. It was so holy. It's in the Ten Commandments that we're not to use His name in vain. But you know what? He said this is magnified even above His own name. The Scriptures. Oh, that you'd be a scriptural Christian. That I'd be a scriptural pastor. That this church would always be a place where the Scriptures have a place of preeminence. Because folks, when the Scriptures go, the church is just about gone. When you talk about this stuff, all this junk that's going on in the world, what it really, really boils down to is this is where we stand. This is where we stand. We're not interested in what the world says. We're not interested in what the White House says. We're not interested in what the Supreme Court says. We're interested in what God says. Amen. The Scriptures. The Scriptures. A church that's a glorious church is a place where the Scriptures are prominent. I was just going back through the year and just thinking about different services we had. And I just like to do that. I like to meditate on how good God's been. And I was thinking about one of the most precious services we have here at Loomis is the Wednesday night before Resurrection Sunday. We call it Crucifixion Sunday or Crucifixion Wednesday. And we don't have any preaching that night, Brother Burton, which is rare. There's a few services a year where we don't have any preaching. What we do is we have our men come up and we read the Scriptures. And we take you from the garden to the cross. And then we leave it right there. Because on Sunday, He gets up out of the grave. Come on now, amen. But I was just thinking of the blessing of that. Of reading the Scripture. Do you know in a lot of countries, they can't read the Scripture aloud? They have to just... We can read the Scripture aloud. We read the Scripture every time we have preaching. We read the Scripture together. Hey, listen, a church that's a glorious church is a place where the Scriptures are prominent. Scriptures. And lest I move too quickly, I need to say here at our church, we believe in the old-fashioned King James Bible. We're not changing it. We're not changing it. Listen, I don't need to get into the deep, deep details. I know this. God inspired it, and what God inspired, He promised to preserve. Thank you. End of story. We have it right here, preserved for us. Submission, sweetness, sacrifice, sanctification, the Scriptures. Look, if you would, with me at verse 27. Two more, and we'll be done this morning. That He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, but that should be holy and without blemish. And I tell you this also, the sixth characteristic that characterizes a glorious church is separation. 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 It says there that He might, the idea, He might present it to Himself a glorious church. Separation. So many times in fundamentalism, we get it backwards. We believe that, if you're separated from this, and you're separated from this, and you don't do this, and you don't do this, and you don't drink, and you don't chew, and you don't run with those that do, and all that, and it's backwards. Do you know the Jehovah's Witnesses are separated. Right? The Mormons are very separated in those aspects. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being separated from things. But here's where it is. Instead of the tail wagging the dog, let's turn the dog around and say, let's separate ourselves unto God and love Him. And by the way, when you get a good look at Jesus, you'll start separating from evil. You'll start separating, not only from evil, you'll start separating from questionable activity that could cause a brother to stumble. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You get close to Jesus, amen, and you're going to live a separated life. And I promise you that separation still pleases God. God separated His people in Egypt with Exodus. He severed His people, amen. And God wants us to live separate, but He wants it to flow out of a love for Him. Not just an outward conformity. All that is Phariseeism. To just outwardly conform, be not driven out of an inward love for God. Separation. To God, from sin. That's the order. To God, from sin. I'll tell you, we get a good look at Jesus, just like the prophet Isaiah, when he looked, he said, I saw the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, and he said, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. Separation. The Scriptures. Sanctification. Sacrifice. Sweetness. Submission. Number 7, and last this morning. Look at verse number 30 with me. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, of His bones. Submission, sweetness, sacrifice, sanctification, Scriptures, separation, 7 and last, structure. Structure. Say, what do you mean? We're part of a body. And a body, parts of the body are not supposed to function independent of the body. When I was a kid, young person, this was back when TV was, when you had to stand, you know, my dad would say, okay, son, stand there and hold the rabbit ears, right? You remember the rabbit ears? Amen. And when he actually said, hey, get up and change the channel. Remember those days? Amen. Had to get up. And that's what kids were for back then. We were human remote controls. Amen. We got up and did, no, I don't want to watch that. But then when it would get bad, you'd say, okay, hold the rabbit ear there. Okay, now stick your leg up in the air. Okay, get some tin foil, hold it there. Yeah, man, you remember those days. There was a show called The Addams Family. The Addams Family. Okay? The old show, amen. And we used to joke when I worked at Addams, I worked at a company called Addams Industry. We would walk in every morning going, da-da-da-dun. You know, just walk right in. There was I can't remember his name. It was just a hand. He just used to... Thing, thank you. He used to just walk. Do you know, that's happening in a lot of independent Baptist churches. Thing's doing his own thing. He's not part of the body. Hey, listen, we're a body. We've seen it this week with the Becker family, haven't we? We're a body. When they hurt, we hurt. Amen? There's supposed to be structure. We're supposed to be together. Over and over and over, Paul in the epistle said, be of one mind, be of one spirit, be of one heart, amen. For Christ, for the gospel, together, in love, amen. We go back to that, going back to the sweetness. Listen, if we love each other, we won't have any trouble with structure. We've got a pastor, we've got a youth pastor, we've got wonderful deacons. That's the structure of the church. Amen? Listen, let's abide in the structure. Let's be part of the structure. Let's be responsible to say, you know what? Even though I may not feel like it tonight, this hand is going to be at church with the rest of the body. Amen. Wednesday night, when you can be here, hey, I'm not going to be independent of the church. We're part of His body. Part of His body. A glorious church. Submission. Sweetness, sacrifice, sanctification, the Scriptures, separation, and structure. Ladies and gentlemen, as your pastor, nothing would please me more than when we're at the judgment seat of Christ to see you get rewards. I'm telling you, I look forward to the days when my kids grow up and play sports. And some of you have seen that, and you've seen your kids get a trophy, maybe for the first place team, or maybe to be the MVP or things like that. I remember when I had things like that in my life, my dad would just sit back there, big smile on his face. You know what, as a spiritual father to you, if God rewards you at the judgment seat, you know what I'm going to be doing? I'll probably be doing cartwheels and jumping up and down and all that. I can't do it now. You don't want me to, amen. But I want to be part of a glorious church. By the way, let me say this. A glorious church is not always the biggest church. Amen? I don't mind being bigger. I don't mind growing. I don't mind having more folks there. But I'd rather be a glorious church. I'd rather be part of a glorious church. How about you this morning? Our heads are